as a result of being some of the things we did and saw while we were in the Middle East, I had developed this deep-seated hatred, racism towards anyone that I thought was Middle Eastern or that I thought was a Muslim.
Well, that was former infantryman John Murphy. Happy Veterans Day coming up, by the way, for those of you here in the U.S. He is going to be our culture segment coming up in just a short while. So stay tuned for that. Our own Catherine Utzler did that interview. So you're going to get to hear her questions that she has for him in a really compelling story of how God brought him out of racism and really out of his own story of despair serving in the U.S. military. For our inbox, we actually have a girl wondering how she can tell if her boyfriend is actually being honest with her, wondering what she can do to not fall for a lie. One of our licensed counselors is going to answer that question. Well, here we are for our roundtable, and we've got three of our folks here, two of them you know very well, Jake Roberson and Catherine Utzler. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What a B.
Okay. Well, we thought we're going to actually talk about TV, which you all know I have my opinions on TV, but apparently these three do as well.
Sure
I want to introduce Matt Demerit, who's here. He's actually with AXIS, which is a ministry, a worldview ministry, primarily towards teens and their parents, helping them navigate faith and the culture. Specifically, so welcome,
Matt.
To you.
Like, does your family issue official demerits, or
Oh my gosh!
Oh, no. Heyo, dad jokes in the house.
I think my standard response to that over the years has just been, "Oh yeah, I've got demerits, whole house full of them."
There you go.
That's pretty weak. Like, I know,
that's
but, yeah,
but that's dad joke
for
him. That's dad joke for him.
Okay. Well, in more
some of your own demerits.
Yeah. In more important news, Matt has raised over 250,000 bees. So let's keep that in mind.
250,000 bees.
Yes, and given today's roundtable, FYI, his favorite show is This Is Us. Catherine, because I want to run through this, she's, of course, our boundless producer. She lived in a morgue when she was little, which probably influences her favorite TV show, which is House.
House.
The show House.
So many things make sense now.
Vicodin.
Shouldn't she like 6 feet
awareness.
Under?
Yeah.
You know, okay. It's a little pale.
And then Jake's favorite show is Seinfeld.
Well, the greatest show of all time.
Though, sadly, I also have to report that he and his wife have watched all four seasons of Hannah Montana together.
And the movie.
Okay.
Recently?
Well,
or
by choice?
No, like, yeah, by choice. No, this was something, you know, as newlyweds and even as new parents, this was something we enjoyed watching together. Guys, it's actually a fantastic show.
What's your favorite show, Lisa? I'm guessing it's not Hannah Montana.
You know, it's so hard because if I look historically, there are just so many to choose from. I would say I don't watch a lot of TV now because...
Do you watch?
You're so pious.
Netflix?
I'm just telling you. Okay.
You're like, I watch it on my iPad.
I do not have Netflix, you guys. I've never had Netflix.
You've never had Netflix?
No.
Ever.
I will once
I
in a while
either,
watch... I will get shows from the library and watch them.
On DVD.
Yep.
Okay.
But I will say that one of my guilty pleasures, if I can catch it, is I like to watch The Voice. Because,
this is The Voice.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've watched numerous seasons of that. A few of them all the way through. But
have you talked with Plugged In's Bob Olszewski about The Voice yet?
I don't even want to try to talk to Bob about The Voice. Yeah. So, but I will say, like the Jordan Smith final performance on The Voice when he did the Queen, Somebody to Love, the Queen song.
Well, Jordan Smith
was
on
pretty
any
mind-blowing.
Song,
yeah.
Right? On his
I've never heard of him.
Whoa.
Oh,
well,
my
because
word.
He hasn't gotten famous since
yeah,
then.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten famous since then.
But every single thing he did on The Voice went viral.
Yeah,
afterwards.
And he hasn't gone on to do anything though.
Well, he has actually now released his own album, but it's like but his album
released
is
nothing.
Like,
this is like excuse
nothing
me.
Worldwide.
It's like an
not
album
totally
of like cover
it.
Songs. Like, okay. Yeah, you know, he has
kind of like Susan Boyle. That's
right. He hasn't hit it big.
Okay.
But like the stuff he did on The Voice, like he did Queen, he did Adele, right?
Yeah.
Like, or no, he did Sia.
No, Sia.
Chandelier.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
my
man.
Word.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He made Sia look like a rookie.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Good for him.
All right. Well, here we're going to talk about TV, you guys, because there's kind of this age-old question. And I remember I was first, I first had to discuss this when I was in probably like sixth grade, where it was like, if you love Jesus, you shouldn't watch any TV. And if you don't love Jesus, then you're just going to watch a bunch of crap. So
accurate.
That was pretty much as as clear-cut as it got. But now, like high school, college, now beyond, you know, we all think that we're mature and we can make wise choices and we can navigate our own faith. But I know, because some of you are my friends, that you do not make good decisions, okay? I'm going to be honest with you, and I've had to confront you on some of your choices. That said, I'm not going to be some total weirdo prude that says we need to bash in our TVs either. So how do we navigate this space of making wise entertainment choices while saying, like, okay, yeah, do we need to be in the know? Does it matter if there are great shows out there that maybe are, maybe have a little questionable content, whatever? We're going to walk the line today. So we already talked about favorite shows. Mine is clearly the most Christian of the bunch because it's just a talent competition. Okay.
Well, they sing some clearly non-Christian songs on that show.
So,
have you seen Miley's outfits?
Well, that's true. Well, we're already back to Hannah Montana.
There we go.
The greatest show of all time after Seinfeld.
He just tried to worm that one in there. Okay, but let's talk about this. When have you guys in your life even thought about this? As you introduce yourself to a new show, as you decide what you're going to be watching, are you frogging in the kettle? Do you fall into shows? Do you just kind of find yourself start watching because you know it was recommended to you from someone? Or do you have like an actual standard of television watching that, you know, a litmus test that has to pass? Where are we all on this? How's it play out? Because clearly we're gonna, you know, have gray areas there. So let's just talk about what our general standard is when it comes to TV. Matt, you start.
Yeah, well, if I'm being honest, what wasn't said in the introduction is that probably my favorite show is How I Met Your Mother,
okay,
which is a comedy sitcom about single people in New York. So it mm-hmm. brings everything that a show like that would probably bring with it. And that was like my college years
okay.
show. And
why is it your favorite show? What about it was so great?
Part of it is just nostalgia okay. for that time, sharing that experience with roommates. But another part is that it's quirky. It's the bouncing back and forth of timelines and flashbacks and flash forwards and whatnot. I think I enjoy that. And it's so unrealistic in the actual presentation of it to life that I never really see it as real life. So when things in there that might be brought up as very morally questionable and gray area or like not gray area at all appear, it's easy to kind of cast most of them to the side. But I think at the same time, watching that as much as I did back in college and even still a bit today, a roommate that I have right now also loved that show back in his college years, and the two of us have kind of been revisiting it recently to the tune of a lot of laughter, but also a good bit of like, wow, this is so absurd.
Well, I feel like it comes down to your personal convictions and relationship with God, because I actually, okay, to be completely honest, there was this guy in college that I really liked, and he liked How I Met Your Mother, and I had never seen it, and he was a strong Christian, and so
we
I was like,
we did not go to the same school.
Oh yeah. it was not Matt, sorry. But so I was like, okay, I'll try this, like I trust his judgment. So I started watching it and I was like, I can't watch this like brings up like thoughts that I shouldn't be thinking. But I don't judge people for watching it either, and I don't think that guy was a less strong Christian than I was because he could handle it. I just think for me, those things bothered me. And so a show like House, which is my favorite show, doesn't have a lot of the same. I mean, it has a lot of questionable stuff, but it doesn't have the same questionable stuff. And so, I don't know, that's why I just felt like I could watch it and feel better about myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the crux of the matter is, in the New Testament, Paul leaves some things open to say, like, hey, if this is pricking your conscience, don't do it. You're sinning if you do it. So there's that element of, if you encounter a show that you're watching and something's not striking you right with it, then maybe you should walk away. However, I think we've used that oftentimes to allow ourselves, I know I've used it this way, to allow myself to watch things that that weren't healthy for me. I spent several years watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is, I think, a
never seen that.
A very,
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's well, okay, so it kind of ties to, it's often been called Seinfeld on crack.
Okay.
So that kind of ties to, it's a style of show that I like. It's a bunch of selfish adults, you know, making horrible decisions, and we get to laugh at them. And yet, that show is so relentlessly hopeless, is so relentlessly aggressively crass, that it was not healthy for me. And I had to make that decision to say, you know what? Sure. Am I going to go to hell if I watch another episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? No. But is this helpful for me? Absolutely not. Like, and I had to make that hard decision. I think that's part of being discerning adults, is knowing when to make the hard decisions not to watch things that you like to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
but
makes sense.
But at the same time, like socially, I would have friends who'd be like, wow, you don't watch, and then insert show there. And then they'd think I was a prude. And I'm like, I'm not. I just, you know, don't want to. But I felt, yeah.
What is the conversation? Like when people, you know, people always talk about like, oh, after, you know, tonight's show, the water cooler talk about plot lines and whatever. And I understand like season finales and all kinds of like big stuff. But what do you think is the phenomenon around just gathering around a show and talking about it? Like, why are people so into that? Like you like This Is Us. That's one that has like multiple plot lines going on. It's, and everyone is just like, I'm, you know, you go on social media, I'm just in tears
yes,
right now.
Always
oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm
pass like, the tissues, Milo.
Guys,
oh my gosh.
My regular life has me crying. I don't need to be watching This Is Us to be crying along with other people. Yeah. But go ahead, Matt.
Well, it's just funny that you mentioned that because like, I only watch that with other people now.
That's what he admits to. Anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
He's like, no, well, which, I mean, I have to now.
Which brings its own pressures of like the tears at the end of the episode and stuff, which I don't think has ever actually happened, but I've been there. I've been ready.
You felt judged
right on the
because you weren't crying?
No.
Like,
there's
all
no
of us are stopping except
like
for Matt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good quality people I'm watching it with. But we did watch it live on television. So the second season just premiered.
Are you really a millennial? And, you watched live television?
Well, this is why, right? Because like, it takes a week for it to be on Hulu after that. Yeah, so we're like, no, we're going to watch the premiere.
That's how good the show is.
Live. True. So we did that. And then at one point, there was a commercial for like Joanne Fabrics or something like that.
Nice. I think that's a real thing.
And I was like, oh, well, so whatever the company, what's the major fabric company out there?
I think Joanne.
Mary Maxim, something like that.
I don't
know.
The fact that you know any of this is
fascinating. I'm
waiting
to hear this circle back to this.
The joke here is that it was me, another guy, and this girl, because our group was a bit slim this week, but we're like, we look at the other guy and I look at each other and we're like, we are not the key demographic for this show. Single 20-something men who don't shop at fabric stores.
Right.
This episode brought to you by insert
Joanne's Fabrics.
Product label of major fabric company.
By Joanne's.
Yeah.
Okay. So clearly we're all admitting that there are shows that we watch that are like, you know, yeah, this isn't going to be The Passion of the Christ. This isn't going to be, you know, but we're still okay with it. But what, give some examples of shows, Jake gave one, where you were like, finally, okay, no, this is no longer good for me, where you knew in your head and your heart that you had to move on. And what was your reason for doing that? I mean, I'll share two right up because one's coming back around again. One is The Mindy Project, which I think is one of the funniest shows that has ever been created and is so non-stereotypical of single life. Like, it actually has not just the same old canned jokes, and Mindy Kaling is hilarious and whatever. But it just got sex and debauchery, quite frankly, just got to be such the norm, and the mistakes made and the making fun of the mistakes made sexually and stuff like that got to be too much. I had to say no. My other one was Will and Grace, which is coming back around now, and actually in ads has been has been described as even more raunchy, even more crass. And so
everything you loved the first time.
I'm like that right there tells me I will not watch this show. But the first time around, it actually became, I had to make the conscious decision that because it was normalizing, celebrating, legitimizing, and you know, and just really putting a good housekeeping stamp of approval on homosexuality and choosing to live out homosexuality, I just had to say no. So,
well, let's be real. Like, why don't we do that with shows that do that with heterosexuality?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Shows that, because, like, if the same concept was, you know, Barney from How I Met Your Mother, who just sleeps around with whatever moves, you know, or these other shows that put a lot of stock in the way characters sleep around and play the field, like, what, you know, why don't we say, like, apply the same filter there? Because biblically, they're held under the same microscope.
That's a great question, but if that's our standard, we wouldn't watch anything but Full House, right? There's
even
literally
Full House is out of boundaries. Oh,
did you watch Fuller House? Whoa.
Maybe I'm making the argument for we might need to move in that direction, because I'm like,
yeah.
Because it's one thing for me, for people, for characters to be real, to make mistakes and whatever, but it's like, is there any takeaway from it? Is anyone growing as a character? Is there anything learned? Is there any storyline that paints like this may not be a good thing? And actually, early on with the Mindy Project, she was always, you know, given her Indian roots and stuff. I mean, the whole premise of her character is she wants to be married with a family. She wants to, you know, be at home with her kids and have this, you know, but she can't get it right. In the meantime, she's sleeping around. She's making horrible mistakes. She falls for loser guys, whatever. But it almost got to the point where there was becoming nothing. It became the punchline. It just became like, oh, rather than I felt like at the beginning of the series, it was much more like, oh, you know, you poor thing. Like you just were rooting for her to like find a great guy. And then it just became like, you know, off the rails, I think. Yeah. But so that's where I kind of see a little bit of a distinction in that.
Yeah, I think it's one thing. Yeah, I think it's one thing when a show happens to include that mm-hmm. and happens to include real life scenarios where this is occurring and people are stumbling through and making choices and things like that, versus where a show as a whole, as the heart of the show, embraces certain lifestyle choices that we would find to be unhealthy in real life, whether that's drinking, whether that's drug use, whether that's violence of some kind. Like, you know, certain shows have at the heart of them the mindset that these lifestyle choices are fine, so, you know, they display and glorify them. And other shows, like you were saying, like at the beginning of the Mindy Project, kind of recognize that there's an emptiness there mm-hmm. and they're wrestling with it.
Have you guys ever seen Parenthood?
I've seen a couple episodes of Parenthood. Yeah.
My roommate started watching it, and it's exactly that. Like, it has such a family orientation, and they all, like, at the end of every episode, they're, like, eating at this big dinner table, and it's all about, like, one of the characters has a kid out of wedlock, but then he's, like, trying to get back with the mom, and so there's, like, some redeeming qualities. But for me, I decided that I needed to stop, like, seeing, I mean, I didn't watch it a whole lot, but because I was just really judgmental of all these characters, I was like, wow, they're making really stupid decisions. Whoa. I'm glad I don't make those decisions.
So it's feeding something very
different.
So you were
like the Pharisee.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I am. I mean, that's honestly probably what I struggle with most in life anyway. And so I was like getting ready for bed after I'd watched the show, and I was like, wow, I'm living much better than that girl is. And I was like, why did I say that? Like, that's terrible.
That's
and so,
the entire existence of reality TV. Like, if we're honest, like, 80% of reality TV shows exist because we like to watch and get a cathartic response from saying, wow, at least I'm not as messed up as these people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's something I noticed when I was watching How I Met Your Mother all the time. It was that there was that Barney character who was just this absolute womanizer, you know, just a different girl every night kind of a thing. But and it was so easy to look at that and be like, well, that's clearly not what I want to do with my college experience or my life for that matter, right? But then there was another character, Ted, who wasn't polar opposite, still did some of that too. But from the beginning, a lot of his perspective was, I want to find the one. I want to get married and have 5 children and live out just outside the city and be a famous architect. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I can line up with that point of view. That makes sense. You know, as I'm this like single guy kind of walking through the college years, like that is like a good perspective for me to have somewhat. But the more I watched it, the more I kind of split the two, and I was like, okay, that one bad, this one good. And almost subconsciously, I was really adopting this mentality of Ted, where he was like, if I don't find this one, like, I'm going to be stressed, I'm going to be riddled with anxiety, and I'm going to be unfulfilled until I do. And it kind of got to the point, this is embarrassing, but like, I remember meeting girls on campus for the first time being like, man, like shaking her hand or whatever, or like joking about study hall or whatever. We didn't have study hall.
I was going to ask.
Like, wow.
What college did you go to?
Is this Bob Jones?
No. But like meeting a girl for the first time and thinking, oh, okay, like she's cool. She's single. She's attractive. She loves the Lord. I have to remember this moment because 20 years from now, I will tell our children about this moment right here. And that's just like not a healthy way to interact with anybody.
That's really funny.
Like, that is bad.
And oh my gosh.
I'd like to say my perspective shifted quite a bit since then, but So in the way that,
years
like,
from now for your kids, like that show is going to be like bonanza. I mean, they're going to be like, what's that dumb show you watch?
What's that dumb show mom and dad watch all the time?
No one cares. No one cares.
But that right there is a key thing that I think gets lost in this conversation of what we should and shouldn't watch. Because for so long, people tried to make the classic hypodermic needle argument about the things that you watched. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, the hypodermic needle argument against media is that, like, as soon as you watch something in a movie or a TV show, whatever negative behavior or attitudes you saw are immediately, like, ingrained in you, and that's what you're going to do next time you get a chance. Like, you got that needle straight to the main vein, and you're about to go off the rails. Okay. And that was how a lot of religious organizations and conservative organizations and parents and families treated media for years. Like, if they see something terrible in a movie, like a kid kill a kid, they're going to go and kill a kid. You know, or if they see somebody smoke a cigarette, they're going to go smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm. But what research actually finds is that it's the themes and it's the attitudes and the mindsets undergirding a show that when you spend a lot of time marinating, watching entire seasons, those things rub off on you.
Well, so like you said, Ted Mosby right there.
Yeah, it wasn't that you watched one episode of How I Met Your Mother and you became Barney. It was that you watched season after season of How I Met Your Mother.
Nine seasons of it back to back.
And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Ted's way of thinking is kind of how I think I should approach my own dating relationships.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not only is it normalizing it, but it's like I say where my concern comes from when people start talking about these storylines and these characters as though they are their friends, and it really they become influencers of them, just like, and I'm not saying, because for me I see it more as the steady diet analogy of just, you know, if you are eating solid healthy food and you're putting a salad in yourself every day and you're drinking water and you're whatever, then go and eat a Big Mac and a fries and a sundae and whatever. And that's, you know, no big deal. But if your steady diet is garbage and you're just, you know, you're not, you know, and I'm not even going to make the case for like, oh, this is morally neutral or this isn't, whatever. I think everything's going to have an influence on us, whether it's just a wearing off or it's something that just truly we are convicted of when we see it for the first time. But for me, it's more like, yeah, you know, I see, I have to make sure I'm in the Word of God, that I'm spending significant amounts of time building myself up, as God calls us to do in Scripture, to think on the things that are of God. And then it's like, yeah, there are some songs, I mean, again, y'all know that I love hip-hop, you people, okay? And there are some hip-hop songs that are just stupid. They have no good, you know, but they don't have, but nor will I go and download a song that is about date rape or about, you know, misogynistic themes or whatever. I will not even passively let myself listen to that. And I don't even care if it's bleeped out or whatever.
Sure.
So some stuff is just dumb, but some stuff I really do think, you know, crosses a line.
Yeah. Like if you have a steady diet of Scripture and community and you're in the Word, like, you know what? If you need to go out and analyze a new Kendrick Lamar album, like, okay, yeah, he wrestles with some really heavy, serious topics in that. And you're trying to understand what your friends find value in that.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that we think relevance means we need to enjoy and appreciate everything that the culture and participate in everything that the culture puts out.
Right.
Instead of recognizing that relevance is actually just understanding what people are seeking in these stories, whether it's in the music or the TV shows or the movies. Mm-hmm. What's the heart of it? What is the writer trying to understand about themselves and the culture? And what is it that we are finding?
Yeah.
In these pieces.
And I'm going to make the argument that the more you are in the Word of God and the more you fill yourself with that, the less of a taste you will have for the stuff that is contrary to God's Word. I'm going to, and not that, again, it means like, and so only have the Sound of Music in your library. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that I think, you know, we need to be about first things first. And this is not even, we didn't even tread into the whole just time spent binge watching shows. Let's not go. I mean, that nuttiness.
That might be sloth.
Totally
that
different. Like a different round table. But anyway, oh my goodness, you guys, we just barely scratched the surface. We're going to have to take this over to the blog and let all of you weigh in. First of all, tell us what your favorite shows are so I can then weigh in and tell you whether or not you are a Christian.
And I will.
And I'm going to bring in Dorothy Anderson as well, because she has her opinions.
The mom.
Lisa's mom.
Dorothy and Daredevil these days.
Don't mess with Dottie A.
She likes Mully, actually.
That's true. I did hear Dorothy was into Mully.
She, She does love her some Molly.
Who doesn't?
I know. But this is going to be fun because this is like real life stuff. We have to navigate this stuff, and we are all adults and should be able to do this and shouldn't be looking to the culture or other people to tell us what to do or what not to do. Unless it's me, because I love telling people what to do. But that's just a caveat. So you guys, thank you so much. We're going to have to revisit this at some point and go even deeper. So
let's do
it. Thanks.
All right.